Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. Nobody would believe what is happening today in this world. Nobody. Because I tell you, this is one of the things that has been going on for years and years and years, and nobody really want to talk about it. We're in what we call a compromising position, you see, because we're not fighting the war. We're at war, but we're not fighting a war. We're fighting a war with each other because of what happened over 450 years ago, you see. We still have that slave mentality that we believe folks who don't like us. We spend money with people who don't like us. And we patronize these people who don't like us. We're the only race of people who spend money with anybody but ourselves. We will not spend money with black folks. One of the things I think is a myth that we talk about or we say, if we go into the white community, we'll get a better product because they stuff everything that's not good into our black community. And I say this to everybody. Spend your money in your community. It's crucial that you spend the money, keep the dollars circulating in your community. Because we have to do a better job of taking care of our community, our children, our women. You see, there's nothing more important than to take care of the woman. If you take care of the woman, she will take care of you. We have to move to a whole different level. We have to show people who we are, because right now, we're losing this war. We're so busy trying to shoot and kill. They done flooded this community and every community with guns. Everybody got guns. This one guy was busted on yesterday with over 30 guns here in Benton Harbor. Over 30 guns here in the city of Benton Harbor. 30 guns. Unbelievable. Drugs. All over the community. Everybody got drugs. You got kids 13, 14 years old selling drugs for themselves. You got that right here. But nobody want to talk about it. You see, black people has been robbed of themselves. They've been robbed. We're no longer where we need to be. You know, and I always look at Chicago, when I think about Chicago, because I was born and raised there, what I see, what's happening there? My video ended. What I see something different. I don't see what's really going on. I don't see that. I don't see that that's happening today. I don't see us doing the things that we need to do. I don't see that. I don't see it. I don't see it. But that's just me. I do not see it. And we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do to make this happen for the future of our children. Black people, we got to get better. You know, there's no reason for you and I to be out here shooting up each other. There's not a reason in this world that you and I should be out here shooting each other up, shooting our children up, shooting everybody up. There's not a reason in this world we should be out here doing this. It doesn't make any sense. We got to get better. The first thing we do, we make sure that we're doing the right thing for our children. We got to make sure that our children understand the value of one life. You see, right now, we don't understand the value of a life. A life means a lot. That's something that you could never recover. Not on this side. You're never going to do it. So we have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do and make sure that we're doing the things that should be done. And if we're not doing it, then we need to talk about it. Because that's one of the things that we're not doing. We're not doing that. And that is creating a mess. So let's make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do. Make sure that we're doing what needs to be done for the future of our children. And make sure that we're protecting each other. See, that's how you survive a situation that's going on. Now, what kind of person would do a drive-by shooting and kill a 9-month-old baby? What type of in this world today would do a drive-by shooting and kill a 9-month-old baby? That baby has not done anything to you or any of your family members or anything or anybody, but yet still, you take the time out and kill them. Shoot up a little baby. Kill a pregnant girl. And you think it's all right. See, that slave mentality that we have been suffering from all these years, you know, is present today. It's there. We are suffering right now from that real slave mentality. And we have to stand up and fight back. This is what they want us to do. They don't need the KKK no more. They got the BBB. You know, they got black folks doing all their dirty work. So we got to make sure we're doing the right thing. Earlier during the week, three people, I could tell people are listening to my Facebook and also my program, because I had about three or four people this week to talk to me. One of the girls, she was a little bit offended because I said that a woman cannot raise a young man to be a man, not a complete man, you see. And I apologize to her because in some cases, women can raise a child, but they'll still be missing something, you see. And like I explained to her, certain qualities, certain things that men do, a woman can't teach. And I told her that. I said, certain things that a man do, a woman cannot teach. She can't teach it. She can't show that, you see. And you can go on YouTube. Like sometimes you go to YouTube and YouTube will explain stuff to you. But there are certain things that a woman can't do when it comes to a young man. And also, it's the same thing with a young lady. A man can't really teach her. They can't teach her about the menstruation period. They can't teach her about other things about herself. It takes a woman to teach a young lady to make her that woman. But we have to spend more time doing these things. Until we start doing these things, it's going to continue just like it is, you see. And I love to say this because it's important that, you know, you start from the very foundation. And we want to stop our children from having babies at 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. We want to stop that because they don't know how to have a child. They don't know. They don't have no clue because they never had one, most of them, at that age. But what we have to do, we have to show them how to benefit and take this thing one step further. And this is what we can do. We can do this, but we're going to have to make sure we're doing all the things that we need to do. And that's it. That's just the way it is. But look, let me move on and bring in my very first guest. But before I bring in my first guest, Minister Shea, I just want to tell everybody some of the things that we're doing. What we're doing is it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we got to continue to do exactly what we need to do and take it to a whole different level. And this is something that we can do. I'm always excited because there's so much that we can do, you know. And let me say this about the other person I spoke to this week. He wanted to know more about the sambo. Now, the definition of a sambo is a person who is a sellout that's on steroids. We can call him a sambo. We can call him a snowball. We can call him a butt kisser. We can call him a butt licker. We can call him a buck dancing sambo. And that's really what they are. That's what they want to know. They want to know about these things. They want to know, is it possible for what's the true definition of it? And the true definition of a sambo is a sellout on steroids. And that's what I'm saying. It's being a sellout is one thing, but being a sellout on steroids, you know, who's a person who has no love for the community. He only have love for himself. He only want money and different things for himself and only himself. That's what he wants. And that's what when we call somebody a sambo, you see, to me that's one of the lowest things in the world to be is a sambo, a snowball, you know, a butt kisser, a butt licker, a butt dancing sambo. You see, there's nothing worse, and we're surrounded by, and I believe this, to protect the community at all costs by doing whatever is necessary. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to protect the community at all times and the future of our children by eliminating these sambos. When we can eliminate these sambos, we can take this thing to a whole different level. But you have to be willing to do it. We have so many people who are not willing to step out and do what needs to be done. It's here, whether we like it or not. It's here. And we need to do something about it because it's crucial that we understand exactly where we at and what we need to be and what we need to be doing. And there's so many of them. I mean, you know, everybody wants to have materialistic things. Anytime you become materialistic, you are subject to be a sellout, a sambo, someone who's willing to do anything for money. You are willing to do that. And that's what that's all about. But we have to get better. We have to show our children that we are better than this. We're better than this. We cannot continue to allow what's happening in our community to continue. Look at our school system. Our school system is designed. It's designed to miseducate you, undereducate you. Make sure that you don't learn. That's what the school system is designed to do today. They don't care nothing about you, your family, or anybody else. They care less. They care about getting them dollars and keeping you on the board. And then they have black people working with them to make sure that your child don't get an education. They have black people working with you to make sure that your child do not get an education. That's right. They have black people working with you to make sure your child do not get an education. That's right. And let me say this to everyone. Monday, every Monday is McDonald Monday, we call it. You do not buy any fast food. Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, whatever it may be. You do not spend any money with these fast food places. Don't do it. Do not do it. Show some restraint. Show the power of black. We're 50 million strong. 50 million black folks. Tuesday, no lottery tickets. Do not purchase any lottery ticket. None on Tuesday. Do not do it. Wednesday, Walmart. Do not shop at Walmart. for any reason. Do not do it. Do not shop at Walmart for any reason. Do not do it. Do not shop at Walmart on Wednesday for any reason. Thursday, do not buy any gas. Whatever community you live in, do not buy any gas on Thursday. None. None. You can fill up during the week, but do not buy any gas on Thursday. And don't forget, we're 50 million strong. There's 50 million black folks in this country. It might be even more than that. They ain't going to tell you because they don't want you to know the power you have. Friday. Friday. Do not go to those Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, Indians, and no nails and toenails done. No weed buying. None. No weed. None. Do not buy weed on Friday. None. Do not do it. Because we have to show them they really don't like us. You talking about the Koreans, you talking about the Japanese, the Chinese, the Indians. These people don't even like, but we still spend our money with them. And they cheat us. Because they think we can't count. That's the ball game. They cheat us. Because they believe that black folks can't count. You see? And black people don't say, they ain't going to challenge. Only people, black people going to challenge is another black person. They ain't going to challenge no, they ain't going to challenge no Korean. They ain't going to challenge no Chinese. They ain't going to challenge no Japanese. Korean. They ain't going to Indians. None of them. They're not going to challenge them. The only people that black folks challenge is black folks. Because they know they got a good chance of getting away. If you kill a black person, you got a good chance of getting away. Even because they'll find somebody else who didn't do it and put them in jail and say they did it. Another black person. That's just the way it is. It's unfortunate. But that's because we got too many people who are not standing up to the system. We got way too many people who are not standing up to this system. And this system is killing us. It's killing us. But it appears that we don't care. We don't care about nothing until it happens directly to us. If your neighbor is in trouble, you're in trouble. If the neighbor down the street is in trouble, you're in trouble. Next door, down the street, across the street, you are in trouble. Get that through your head. We have to be like we was in the older days where we stood together with each other. We're not standing together with each other today. We're not doing the things that need to be done today. We're not doing none of those things today, things that should be done. We're not doing it. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but we're not standing up fighting back. And they know it. They know that we're not going to do anything. They know that most of us can be bald in the soul. They know how many Sambos in every community. They know when a person's in the 11th grade whether he's going to be a Sambo or not. They know that. They know all this. But I got good news. I got my good friend Derek on today. We're going to be talking about the target individuals. And I know how black people is. First thing come to their mind, last time Derek was on, I must have got about a 15 text message. Oh, well, you always talking about a target. Yes, the governor will do it. I would not put nothing past the governor or the government or the system itself. I wouldn't put nothing past them, you see. And reparations for black people, that's going to be one of the hardest fights in the history of mankind, because they do not want to propel black folks to a different level. You know, we have survived all the mess and hatred and the hanging, the beating and all this, the torture. We have survived that, you see. And we're going to continue to survive because we're not going to fall over, you know, even though right now it may not look good. But it is good because we're going to make it good. This is what we do as black folks. Let me bring my first guest, my first man, the Minister Shay. Minister Shay from Ohio. Talk to me, Minister.
God bless you, Reverend Pinckney. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm great. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking.
All right. It's good to be on the show. I'm Minister
Kujanga. It's always good to have you on, my brother. It's always good to have you on. You know, you're one of us.
Yes, sir.
That's how I look at it. You're one of us. Absolutely. So talk to me. Tell me what you want to talk about.
For the listeners that don't know me, I am Minister Kujanga Elia Ashe. I'm an ambassador to the United Nations. I work with African people all over the world, the African Hebrew Israelites in Israel. I work with the Moorish Americans. I work with the Gullah Geechee Indians out of the East Coast, Ambassador Harvey out of Louisiana and Georgia. I work with the Council of Elders, headed by Walimu Kabila out of California, and many other groups, Native American groups, and all kinds of quote-unquote civil rights groups. What I tell them is that everybody needs to drive their own bus route and stay in their lane. Everybody needs to be who they are and fight the system the way that they know to fight it. And don't criticize other brothers and sisters who are fighting just as hard, but who are fighting in a different way or in a different area. During the dark days of slavery, chattel slavery, as you mentioned, Reverend Pinckney, for 450 years, people fought slavery in many different ways. You had some brothers and sisters that ran away and escaped. You had others that did not escape to the North or to Canada, who started slave revolts like Denmark Vesey and Gabriel Prosser and Nat Turner and many others. There are hundreds of those kinds of brothers and sisters. You have folks like Harriet Tubman that formed the Underground Railroad. You had other folks like Frederick Douglass, who became a statesman and recruited white people in the North as abolitionists. You had women like Sojourner Truth, who went and talked to presidents, including Lincoln, and probably whispered in his ear, "I knew your grandmother. You know she was an African, a black woman. That's why you got that curly hair and them big ears," and persuaded him to go ahead and start the Civil War. So basically, everybody was driving in their own bus routes, and the times were hard. We come up to the Civil Rights era, before that the Reconstruction, and then the Civil Rights era, and everybody's fighting, struggling, and doing what they do. Now we're a whole new era. What you're doing, Reverend Pinckney, is the economic rights movement. You're not really doing civil rights, because, you know, we do have the right to vote, whether they try to abridge that or not. There are people fighting to make sure we can still vote. But you're doing economic empowerment programs, and we need to take this economic rights movement that you're doing and spread it across the nation and across the world, because that's where it's at. If you hit them in the pocketbook, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in his last sermon the night before they killed him on April 3rd in 1968, he said that he and SCLC put their money in the black banks. They bought insurance from black insurance companies, so on and so forth, and they were boycotting Siltest milk, Wonder Bread, Heart Bread, and those kind of things. They were doing economic projects. And, of course, the next day he was murdered. He was assassinated. So what we're doing, and I coined the words, the phrase, the economic rights movement. Other people have picked it up. Whether you use the term or not, that's what you're doing, Reverend Pinckney, which is a wonderful thing. We've got to stop spending our money like bird seed, scattering it everywhere. We've got to spend our money with people who will support our causes, predominantly our own folk, but other folk who will support us. And then once we do that, then other companies will come around and begin to say, hey, how can we get some of that money? Well, you've got to support our causes, whether it's financially or funding or grants or with politics. You've got to support our causes that help uplift our communities, which are still mostly segregated. I live in South Linden here in Columbus, Ohio, which is basically 80% quote-unquote black or African-American. And it's a segregated community. A lot of white people are moving back in because the cost of the housing is lower than out in the suburbs, and they're getting run out of the suburbs because of the economic situation that they find themselves in. You know, the banks are collapsing. We just had Silicon Valley Bank in California, the second largest bank in the country, collapse. So God is still on the throne. The Bank of Lebanon collapsed. In Nigeria, the people are rioting because of the banking system. The currency is changing. So the domino effect is happening. What the Bible is saying is true. So I just want to encourage people today to drive your bus route, stay in your lane, do all that you can to help uplift the cause of the Most High, whether you call the Most High God or Yahweh or Yahweh or Allah or the Lord or the great creator, sustainer, whatever beautiful name you call the creator and sustainer of life. If you're working in his her behalf and you're uplifting the people, keep on doing that and keep on going, because the Most High is going to step in and help us. 46,000 people were killed in an earthquake in Turkey and Syria a few weeks ago. And people wonder why that happened. Well, you know, the Bible tells us there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. It tells us there'll be wars and rumors of wars like Russia and Ukraine. You got white people, Europeans, and Russia fighting white people, Ukrainians, and Ukraine. So white people are killing white people. So you've got to look at the hand of the Almighty moving. The Most High God is still answering the prayers of our foreparents and our ancestors. He ain't even got to our prayers yet. He's still answering their prayers. You got people with their own businesses. You got people driving Mercedes and Cadillacs and Toyotas and living in fine houses, and basketball players, football players, baseball players making contracts $10, $15, $20 million a year or more. Actors, you got the Academy Awards tonight. You got actors, black actors have come on and get Academy Awards. Angela Bassett's making almost $500,000 for one episode. So you got all kinds of things. These are the prayers of our ancestors are being answered. And now the prayers, our prayers, are going to be answered as well. We're going to get up on our feet economically. We're going to do all the things that we need to do. The prophet to the Catholic Church, Bob Brown, is in his bus route. He's trying to make the Catholic Church repent for starting chattel slavery. He's trying to get them to overturn, overrule, rescind, repudiate, rebuke over 100 papal bulls for the laws that the Spanish, the Portuguese, the English, and then the Americans used to start and continue chattel slavery. They couldn't have done that without the blessings of the quote-unquote Roman Catholic Church, the Catholic Church. They couldn't have done that. And Bob is trying to get them to overturn those, and they're still enslaving people with those rules. Human trafficking is going on. And like you said, Reverend Pinckney, a lot of our community have missed the boat. They don't know their history, their culture. They don't know their African history, that they're Kemites from Egypt, that they're Hebrews, that they're, you know, Yoruba, that they're Wolof, that they're Zulu, they're Ndebele, they're Shona. They don't know what tribe they came from in the motherland. They don't know that they're Native Americans, black Americans, that they're Cherokee or Seminole. They don't know that. You know, I know all of my mixture. I'm a great mixture of a number of people, so are most of our folk. So there are a lot of people doing a lot of things out of ignorance, but we can't focus on those folks. We need to call them out, because the Bible says, name those, mark those among you that cause dissensions. So we need to call out all the Sambos, and you can't call them Uncle Toms nowadays because they'll sue you, but we need to call out the Sambos and all of the sellouts and all the people that are doing negative things in our communities, our neighborhoods, what you're doing. And we need to continue to do the economic rights movement. We need to continue to go on our own ride our own bus lane, stay in our own lane. So basically, Reverend Petey, I'm not going to take up much more time on your show. I'm glad to be on. I just want to say a word of encouragement. Be encouraged. A lot of the banks are going to, more banks are going to fail. A lot of rich white people, the 1%ers, are going to lose a lot of money. A lot of people that support the monopoly finance capitalistic system and imperialism that's destroying Haiti and causing wars in the Congo, where they got kids digging up gold and diamonds and all the things that make up these cell phones with their bare hands, paying them a dollar a day, and then selling it over here for hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. So all those things are going to work out. Our prayers will be answered. I want people to be encouraged because the Most High, the creator and sustainer of all things, is still on the throne. So that's my report from Columbus, Ohio right now, Reverend Pinckney. And I thank you for all the time. And anybody can contact me in Columbus, Ohio at my, on my cell phone at 734-657-1230, or they can contact me on my email, highpriestroyalorder@gmail.com. That's highpriestroyalorder, one word, highpriestroyalorder@gmail.com. Ask me any questions, and I hope and pray that the economic plans and boycotts that you are putting all over the air, that they get around to all the country. We need to make sure that everybody knows what days, who to buy from, who not to buy from. And we need to make this economic rights movement into a gigantic thing. Once we do that, then the Most High will begin to answer our prayers the way he's answering our ancestors and our foreparents' prayers right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I strongly agree, and I thank you so much for coming on and giving that wisdom and knowledge to our people, because there's nothing more important than that. So, you know, the key is just staying focused, doing the things that we need to do, and make sure, you know, we put humanity first before we talk about materialistic things, because anytime you can become materialistic, you could be bought and sold, and we got too much at stake to allow. And it took us 450 years or more to get to where we at today. It's going to take us another 450 years to get this thing right if we don't get it right. Because we're heading backwards. If King was alive today, he would be embarrassed at the success we have made, which is not very much. So on that note, I will talk to you soon. Take care of yourself. And have a great day, my brother. Anyhow, let's bring in my good friend Derek from beautiful sunny California, and he can tell us everything that he wants us to know. Go ahead, Derek. Talk to me. Derek, are you there?
Okay, here I am. Sorry about that. I was on mute for a second. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Reverend Pinckney, and join the previous speaker and the things that he had to say. A lot has really happened since slavery, and our black people have really accomplished so much in this in the interim. And this last week, I was reflecting on some of those things. You know, being free from slavery, getting the right to vote, Dr. Martin Luther King and his efforts to get our Civil Rights Act, which opened up so many doors for black people, and then the right to vote, affirmative action, the right to be educated, and just so many steps along the way in our progress that has resulted in our freedom. And I remember 1968 when, you know, black people exploded on the streets, which brought so much attention to our rights. And just everything has just opened up since then. And as he was explaining it, that we have millionaires in Hollywood making hundreds of thousands of dollars per episode. And black people, so many have great wealth and prosperity and prestige that we have never had before. So we have lots of opportunities. It's really up to us to make, to really write our own ticket. Nowadays, it's just amazing what we are able to do. The sky is the limit to what we are able to accomplish nowadays. And our movement is, the targeted individuals, is not a civil rights movement, but what I have come to realize is that our movement is a human rights movement. This means that this is a movement that involves everyone, all of humanity. The things that we are dealing with affect all of humanity. Every race, every culture on this planet is at risk of being enslaved once again, but this time with technology. There's not so much someone coming up to you and handcuffing you and chains and dragging you off to the fields and forcing you to work. But this is a new type of slavery where they don't have to be anywhere near you, and they can send signals to control your mind and have you to do their bidding with technology. And this is what we are trying to educate people about, the dangers that we are facing with the advancing of technology, and most people are completely unaware of it. So so this is our struggle. We have evolved from a civil rights struggle to now it is a human rights struggle, and it's the stakes are that we are at risk of losing our humanity with the advancement of technologies. And this is our message, that we have to be aware of the technologies that are available now that can enslave a person just as much as we were enslaved back a couple centuries ago. So this is our message, and this is what we are trying to, and you, Reverend Pinckney, have really caught the vision and the importance and the essence of our message, that now that we have been physically freed from slavery, they have come at us in another way. And when I say they, I'm not speaking of necessarily of a particular race or color, but we are talking about the spirit, a demonic spirit of enslavement that wants to see humanity buckle under to their power and control. This is an evil spirit of enslavement that wants to come at humanity in another way. And this is the technology that is advancing. And we would like to make people aware of what's going on around them. And this is the importance of Reverend Pinckney, of your message and your allowing us to speak on Sundays. And we do appreciate it, because these technologies are not visible. They're not available so that the average person is aware that these things are happening. These technologies operate in subtlety. You don't see the operator because they are behind closed doors in buildings, in homes, in offices, and using this technology on the general public, and people, all people, are mostly unaware that this is happening. And the enslavement, they call it the Havana Syndrome now. And with the U.S. diplomats first being recognized for their injuries of this technology, where they have memory loss, where they have remote concussions, brain concussions, that doctors have diagnosed. There's no outward sign of physical trauma, but here these people have injuries as if they were being assaulted with a brick or a bat or something like that. The same type of injuries can be affected with technology. And this is now coming to light, that these technologies are rampant, but people are generally unaware that these technologies can operate remotely And we have a few people here today from our community that that can share with some of the things that are happening with them, that so that you guys will be aware that these types of remote technologies exist, and we need to act quickly before we as a humanity are overtaken by those who are the controllers. It's not just economic freedom that we're talking about. We're talking about the survival of humanity from people who want to control our every move, our every thought. They can now access our thoughts and they can't really control our thoughts just yet, but if you're not aware, they can influence our thoughts and have you doing things, if you're not aware, that you would not normally do. And so this is the importance of what we have to say, that there is a new type of slavery nowadays that is moving among the population, and and the population is generally unaware, but they can become enslaved. And right now there is no remedy for this technology because it is considered conspiracy theory and not taken seriously. So this is the importance of what we have to say, because this technology is subtle, but it is advancing, and it could be as enslaving as we were back a couple of hundred years ago, and people may not even be aware of it. So, Reverend Pinkney, I just want to say that we are dealing with a new type of enslavement today, and this is what we are here to say. And I have brought someone with me that I hope Ann Baker is here, but Cassandra is also here, and
okay.
She is willing to share her experience.
All right,
what's
the last four numbers?
Her area code?
Yeah.
Her area code is 4, hold on 1 second.
410?
410. That's
okay. And what's her name?
Cassandra.
All right. Let's see, can we get Cassandra in here so she can give us exactly what's going on. Cassandra, you are on the air. Talk to me.
Yes, sir. Good evening. I'm Reverend Pinkney. I truly do appreciate the things that you have said regarding black people and economics. I appreciate the gentleman that came on from Columbus, Ohio, and his hopes and views for us. And I just appreciate that, and I appreciate what Derek has said. In that vein, Reverend Pinkney, you were given these different names for Sambo and, you know, other names, Uncle Tom. Well, here, I'm in Baltimore. Here, we call them kind of folk lackeys. That's what we've always called them, lackeys. And so those are those who would betray their own kind for the benefit of themselves, but ultimately for the usage from white folk. I do want to say, Reverend Pinkney, that I do believe that this mind control that Derek is talking about is primarily a white thing that white people have enhanced, and that there are lackeys who help them, but I think that this is a white thing, and it's gotten straight from Satan. You know, it's demonic. Yeah. It's antichrist. It really is practiced by soulless individuals. I do believe... Reverend Pinkney, that, and I just want to add one thing. There's a statue in Detroit. It's a 9-foot statue of this little black boy and a little white girl looking up at this demon. This demon is sitting in like a throne-like chair. Statue has been erected in Detroit. There is one in Canada, and there is another one here in the United States, and I forget where, but that's, it's ominous, it's prophetic for what is happening to black families. I truly do believe that there is a plan, a plot to destroy once again black families by separating the black man from his natural mate, the black woman. In any event, I did want to call people to that. But, sir, my story, I am targeted, and I believe that my target – well, I have been targeted all my life. I believe that there's a technology that can send voices into your head. It started with my mother. My mother was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic, but as these things have began to happen in my life and in different family members' lives, I believe that that is a technology that was started decades ago, at least 60 to 70 years ago, and it has been enhanced to do some incredible things to the human mind, to put voices and thoughts in your mind that you see as your own, but they really are not. And the only way to be able to discern those thoughts is to truly know the word of God. What would God say to you versus what something ominous would say to you? What kind of ominous thought would come into your head? That is how you really can tell. But in any event, I do believe that it started with my mother. I do know that as a child myself, I keep having thoughts of me being in this laboratory-like setting. I had this white man who was sitting up on a high bench, and he was putting something in my ear. There was nobody else in this room except me and this man. What that is, I don't know. I can't remember. I was maybe only like 6 or 7. If it was an implant, it truly does follow what is happening to me today. But in any event, I believe that a lot of the things that are happening to me is with the cooperation of the police department. I have had the fishtail maneuver done on me. I have never been in any kind of trouble. And talking to me and seeing my lifestyle, you would know I would not have anything to do with the police. Yet I have had that technique done on me that is only supposed to be known how to have been done by police officers. It's a tactic to stop anyone who is fleeing, a terrorist, a prisoner, anybody who is driving. I've had that done to me. I've had a white sedan and a person on a motorcycle always follow me going up and down 295 between Baltimore and D.C. where I had another house. I was being tracked. I remember when I moved up here to Baltimore, talking about those thoughts where Derek was saying that there can be an influencing of thoughts through this mind control. I remember as soon as I changed locations, I kept having these thoughts of smacking people, of slapping people in the face, especially little children, something that I would never do. I think that they try to influence these thoughts on you if you inculcate those thoughts. If you think that those thoughts are really from you, you will do it. But I know who I am. So that didn't happen. And so a whole new onslaught of things have happened to me. I have had at one time, also when I first moved up here back to Baltimore from D.C., because I am from Baltimore. I bought a house in D.C., but I had to come back to take care of my daddy. I began to have all these weird things. They stopped following me so much up and down 295. But other strange things began to happen to me, Reverend Pinckney. I remember also one time when I came up here first, my satellite TV system was put into this house. On the TV, there appeared this image of someone, and it looked like Route 295 at night, where this person had been stopped. You could see the blaring police car lights in this, whatever this was that showed up on my TV. It just came in the middle of the programming. And then this picture of this black guy appeared at the top of the screen, and then underneath there was writing. And that looked to me, and then it went away. It stayed for maybe like 2 or 3 seconds, but I recognized that as something that a police officer would look like, that nothing like that should have been coming up on my TV. So I think that they were just getting it set up for me when I moved back to Baltimore. In any event, I'm having all kinds of strange things happen in my body, all kinds of strange sensations, all kinds of strange pains, all kinds of strange sores and boils that have started coming up on me for no reason. I have had different things in my home attacked, all kind of vandalism. I've had things stolen from me, things that would come in the mail. It was as though somebody is already aware of what is going on with me. So many things, Reverend Pinckney, that I know that I am being surveilled. I know that I am being tracked. I do believe that also this technology is being created for those who would be deemed terrorists. I did have a quote from, I think it was a general in the United States Army, where he was saying that these technologies should be used on our citizens first before they are pushed out to the rest of the world. My two computers have been destroyed, so I can't even get to that quote anymore, but I could probably find all of the evidence that I once had pointing to this technology. You know, my story is such where my defense really is leaning on the Word of God. I have to lean on the Word of God, and then there are other little ancillary things that I have learned to use to protect myself, like batteries, like magnets, sir, like not really paying attention to the things that they want to put in my face. So I do believe that if this technology that started with my mother, and I do believe that all of these weird things that can happen to a person, these things are being enhanced. You can look at recent commercials that are coming on about all these weird symptoms that you can now be having. You can look at the commercials where it looks like Satanism is being injected into these commercials, into like a lot of the shows that we are looking at. I do believe that this is a plan for control of humanity, but I truly do believe, Reverend Pinckney, that it's starting with black folk. They use us a lot. Not saying that white people cannot have this to happen to them too, but a lot of black people this is happening to. All the shootings, all the killings, all these weird things. This is mind control that they are doing. I have audio hallucinations. I have sensory hallucinations. They make me hear sirens all the time and planes, aircraft over my head. They will have different sensations to occur in my body, like coldness or hotness at different points in my body. They can make me not hear things or hear things. They can make me see things, Reverend Pinckney. They can give me these dreams. Oh my goodness gracious, these demonic dreams. They are giving me death threats. I do not hear like my mother did. You would not be able to say that I was paranoid schizophrenic from hearing things. However, I have a lot of thought transmissions, just like when I came up here and I said somebody was trying to make me think that I'm supposed to go around slapping folk. There are just so many things. I think that I've had a particular technology used on me called a Medusa. It is so weird. It's like something is going in me. It felt like something was going on in my head, but that I was feeling it in my throat. It is just the technologies that have been enhanced. I believe it has something to do with the military, with the police. I think that all of these technologies really are for control, for control of people, that they are going to use it on so-called terrorists that may come into this country, but they're using these things on innocent folk, on innocent people. And when you talk about it, Reverend Pinckney, it makes you seem not credible. It makes you seem like you're crazy, and you're not. These things are actually happening, only nobody else sees them. You are the only one who can feel them. That is why we are called targeted individuals. We are targeted. I hope that what I'm saying does not sound too disjointed. I hope that I am appearing credible, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that this happened to my mother, and then I do believe that I believe that all of my mother's children have been targeted in different ways. I've had really strange things happen to me all my life, but it was not until I became an employee with these white attorneys, and I hate to keep using the word white, but it seems like this stuff comes from the minds of white folk, and it is truly satanic. But in any event, I worked for this attorney. She made a mistake. This was at this Hogan firm down in Washington, D.C. Hogan has branches all over the world. But in any event, this woman made a mistake where it must have been costly to the firm. She tried to blame it on me. You know, I would not, when I found out about it, I would not go back to work for her anymore. And then after that, after I told my supervisor, no, y'all find her somebody else. She lied on me. She tried to blame something on me. Y'all find her somebody else. After I told them that, all these strange things began to happen to me on my job. So it will first start on your job, and then it will follow you to your home, and then it will just explode in your life. And so I'm going to end with, it's almost, Reverend Pinckney, like my life is following the book of Job. I'm being treated like Job, where God is allowing these things to happen to me for some reason, and I am going to trust him with my life. But everything in my life has been touched by these individuals, vandalism, killing of animals, the things that they do to me, thefts, I mean, all kinds of things. Everything concerning my life, Reverend Pinckney, has been touched except my faith. They can't mess with that. And so that is the only thing that keeps me going. So I just those people who were sending you those texts and those emails saying that, well, you only want to hear from targeted individuals, listen here. They're going to roll this stuff out. It is already operating in many people's lives. You may not detect it, but it's working. It's working more in those who have been made to be known it's happening purposely and deliberately in your life. But this mind control can touch anybody, which counts for all of the shootings, all of the weird things that people are doing. I believe that this is following God's plan where, you know, Reverend Pinckney, we can do what we can for our race, but things are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. This technology is antichrist. I am quite sure that God is pissed, and he's going to put an end to this. And so we can continue to try to lift ourselves up, but black people, we are in trouble. We are in trouble, and I truly do believe that it is from this mind control.
Absolutely. You know, that's my message to the world. We're in trouble. We don't get it. It took us over 450 years to get where we at now, and we really ain't nowhere. You know, look at the jobs. Look at all who got all the good jobs. Look at the school system. We got black people that's in a position to help, but they won't help because they've been trained not to help. You know, if you're a ball player, tell me this. If you got a 501c3, why would you pay the governor 33% of your salary? That doesn't make no sense. But they tell them, do not You did not go back into your community and try to build it back up. To not put stores and medical centers and gas stations in your own community. This is what these pro athletes have been told, and they don't know no better. You see, they haven't been taught that, you know, you build your community up by spectating in one store at a time. You know, they if all these millionaires, you know, they play it right into the system hand, and they help destroying them. King
yes,
today,
sir.
If he saw what was going on today, he would be very upset. He'd be saying,
yes,
I died
sir.
For nothing. That's what he'll
That's
say.
Right.
He'll say, I died for nothing, because it makes no sense for you to be making all that money and don't want to put back. A little school is fine, but you got to find something that's going to keep money flowing in the communities.
That's right.
And that's what we don't do. We don't do it.
Yes, sir.
But on that note, we are out of time. Look, I want y'all to come back. I'm going to give y'all 2 weeks to come back, and then I'll have somebody else to talk along
All right.
with Gary.
Thank you, Deborah.
And
thank you, Reverend.
2 weeks
thank
from
you.
Two weeks from today, I want you back. I want Gary and them back, because we're going to get this word out here so people can understand about target individual. We was only tough, but, you know, I get a lot of stuff in the chat right now about, you know, people when we talk about target individual, but we want them to know that this stuff is real. And on that note, hey,
Very
next
real.
Week, same time, everybody, come join us. 2 weeks from today, Garrett, come on with us. I'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you, and good night, everybody.